All right, so everybody, please turn to Mark 10. This is a very verse everybody probably knows in here, but I'd like to break it down a little bit and go over it. And wasn't that some awesome singing and dancing we saw up here? I was kind of disappointed you guys didn't get up and dance with them a little bit. You know, I was expecting some moves from the adults. I know Renee was dancing in her chair back there, but I was just loving that. I think you all loved that. Look at this amazing stage. I think this is Bungie's favorite stage because this is the most wooded this church has ever been. I want you to imagine a day at VBS. Kristen is managing and leading everybody. Tanya's up here with her granddaughter, and they're singing and leading the kids in worship. And the kids then break up in groups and go with crew leaders around the church, and they do different stations. There's a science station where they do experiments. There's a station for crafts. There's one for snacks. There's one for games and activities, and another for a Bible study. And each station lasts about 20 minutes. And then the kids come back in for closing worship. And then we release them to their parents. There's a lot of people involved in VBS. Some that are active in VBS. And then there's some that are in the background. There are people who donated snacks. There are people who helped set up this beautiful sanctuary that we see in here and the scenery. And there's scenery all over the church. If you want to take a look, the elementary room's really neat, but it's got a lot of junk in it too, so you would have to look around the junk. There are people who help clean. There's people who are praying for VBS all week. But you might wonder why. Why all the effort? This is a lot of effort, and I really appreciate everybody who's put the effort into VBS. Every year, we're exhausted. You know, Chris came down and opened up the church because I had the flu this weekend. I'm like, of all times. And you might wonder, why even bother with all this effort? Why spend an entire week of your life? A lot of people take off of work to do this. Even for youth camp, people take off of work. And what about church services? This is just a part of the whole thing. You know, during church service, right now we see the kids in here and it's a blessing, but on a normal church service, there are at least 10 people every service that are watching kids that you might not think about. There's a lot of dedication in this room of people who pour their lives into the children, but why are they doing that? So tonight I'd like to get a little better perspective of that. So we're going to start reading in verse 13 of Mark chapter 10. It says, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them." Tonight, we're going to get a glimpse of how important children are to Jesus. Before this scripture, Jesus explained the importance of marriage. So in the beginning of Mark chapter 10, he's going about talking about importance of marriage and when a marriage should be broken up. And frankly, marriage leads to children, so it's the next topic in this study. And once you have kids, what is your role as a parent? If you are a part of Christ's church, what should your perspective of kids be? Tonight, we'll look at Jesus and the importance and perspective that he gives us regarding children. So tonight, through this interaction in Mark chapter 10, we're going to learn some things. Number one, it's important to dedicate our children to Jesus. Number two, it's important to prioritize our children for Jesus. Number three, it's important to have a child's perspective. And number four, it's important to demonstrate Jesus' love to children. So let's go back to verse 13 and look closer on how we should dedicate our children to Jesus. "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them." Back in Jesus' time, it was common for parents, Jewish parents specifically, to bring their children to rabbis to have their children blessed. The Jews, if you look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, it states, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The Jewish people would take this verse, and they saw a need to actually bring their children to rabbis to have them blessed. And these people that lived during Jesus' time saw what a great teacher and all the miracles that Jesus had done. And so I'm sure the parents looked at Jesus and how great he was and had a desire in their heart to bring their children to this great person. So these parents are bringing their kids to Jesus. Who wouldn't want somebody like Jesus to bless their kids? I mean, could you imagine if Jesus was walking the earth and you saw these magical, or not magical, but blessings and things Jesus was doing for others, and he was actually doing these miracles? And I know personally it would be amazing to be able to have Jesus put his hands on my children and bless them. And back in verse 13, the word brought is also used in the Bible as in context with bringing a gift. So these parents, when they're bringing their children to Jesus, they're bringing them like a gift to Jesus or to God. And we see the same word used all over the New Testament for things like gold, frankincense, and myrrh, for when the wise men brought the gifts to baby Jesus after he was first born. And these parents wanted to give their children as gifts to God. They saw their children as a blessing received from God, and they wanted to dedicate their children's lives to the Lord. I know Bungie just went over some scripture about Hannah, probably, well, it might have been last year, but about how Hannah brought Samuel to the Lord. And Samuel was promised a child. She had been waiting for a child for a long time. She was barren, and the Lord gave her a child, and the first thing that came out of her mouth was that she was going to dedicate her child to the Lord. And Hannah was a great example for us as a parent what we should do for our children, and that we should dedicate them to the Lord. Samuel lived in the temple, and he did some amazing things for the Lord, like he was in charge of putting kings in power, and he was in charge of giving wisdom to the Jewish people. And he did all of these amazing things because his mother was focused on dedicating her child to the Lord. So today, what are some things people say about a child who is raised correctly? They might bring up things like, well, they're so polite, or they behave well at a restaurant, right? Or maybe when they get older, they have a well-paying job, or they went to a prestigious school, or they might have a great family of their own, or they might give you well-behaved grandbabies. But those are usually the things the world thinks of when they think of an actual well-behaved child or a child that was raised well. And but in the Bible, the more important thing is children are dedicated to the Lord. And so I feel blessed when I see a child. I'm getting older now, and I see some kids being raised in the Lord, and I see kids making wise decisions and decisions that are Christ-focused. And those are a blessing to me. And that's something that shows me that children are raised well, is that the parents have a focus and a dedication for those children to make sure that they're raised in the Lord. All right. So, you know, a lot of times you'll see in church where parents bring their babies forward and they get dedicated. And I think it's always cute because you see them dressed in the cute little dresses or the suits, and they're dressed nicer than me and the pastor and the church and stuff like that when they're brought forward. But it's not just a ceremony. When you bring your child to be dedicated to the church, especially this church, is part of the idea of that is that as a parent, you are basically acknowledging that you need to raise that child for the Lord, and that you're dedicating that child for the Lord, and that your goal is for that child to live for the Lord. So this also means setting up our family life in a way where kids learn about the Lord. If they see us living for the Lord, we also need to set an example for the child of how to live for the Lord. The way we live needs to point to Jesus. As a parent, our children learn more from our behavior than what we tell them, right? I know that personally for me, my children very much imitate what I do, and some of it's my jokes, and some of it's the way I live my life. So I would hope that I'm setting an example of the way to live for the Lord in my house. So that brings us to the next point. Let's continue in verse 13 and see how important it is to prioritize our children for Jesus. So then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. That kind of sounds harsh, right? That the disciples had bad motives in their heart when the little children were brought to Jesus. And actually, I think it's a slightly different. I think that the disciples, they were trying to do the best for Jesus. They had some idea in their mind that they were helping Jesus out. Okay, they had good intentions. Jesus had a very tough ministry. He was constantly surrounded by crowds, constantly being asked to do miracles. We saw several times during Jesus' ministry where he was just physically and mentally exhausted. So I think the disciples had this idea of all these children coming to Jesus, it would just be exhausting and that he didn't have time for them. And I believe the disciples here had the best intentions. They knew what a busy day Jesus had had, and they were probably in their mind determining what was important and what wasn't. Maybe a paralyzed man was more important than a child. Maybe someone teaching or someone being taught by Jesus was more important. Whatever they were using to determine the importance was off according to Jesus. Jesus rebuked them, and it's because he had to set their mind back on his focus, and they were not focused on what Jesus was focused on. And so often we think our adult issues are more important than what our children need. Jesus himself said that these are the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? And I'm going to go into more details in a little bit, but it means that these kids are the future of the church. Often we skimp out on teaching our kids or bringing them to Jesus because they are too busy or we are too busy. And we prioritize things based on how the world would prioritize things in our lives, not the way God would have us prioritize those things. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That is why the children's ministry at Calvary South Austin, we prioritize feeding the kids God's word. I cannot tell you how many times I have taken my kids to another church. Maybe I'm on vacation or I'm at my parents' house and we go to their church. And I'll ask my kids, how was class? I want to know what they learned. I want, you know, from a children's ministry director perspective, I'm like, what are they learning in here? And so a lot of times it's disappointing, but I hear the answer, oh, we just played games. And Zoe's my oldest and she'll tell me, she's like, I'm kind of sad because we didn't learn anything. And it's like, wow. What are they doing in there? And games are fun, and I really love games, and I really love making the kids laugh in class. And it's important to have playtime, like we have fun dancing up here during VBS. But learning about God and equipping our children is way more important. So often people think that the children's ministry is a place for people to put their kids so that they can go to church and have their kids not bug them. Right? I know it's really hard in here with your kids to pay attention to a study, and it's very important that you're able to learn in here, but we're not in the children's ministry just to babysit. We are there to place great teachers so that your kids can learn the Word of God. And the best gift that you can give a child is God's Word, because then they can rely on it later in life. They might not fully understand it in children's ministry, but when they get into their adult years and they're older, when they have to make a decision, believe it or not, those Bible verses that they had to memorize in children's ministry and the words that we taught them in God's word that we taught them in children's ministry, it will come back into their mind when they need it. And that's the beauty of it. And what's even more important is it's up to the parents to continue that teaching at home. Here in Calvary South Austin, if you come to every service, your kids are receiving about 2 hours worth of God's word every week. And that's just not enough for us to get through the entire scripture by the time your child gets out of high school. So it's part of the parents' responsibility to be also teaching their kids God's word at home. And we would love to come alongside of the parents of this church and help you if you need help, but that should be a very important thing in your household. And, you know, the world might think that your kid is not raised up correctly if they're not a doctor or an engineer. And it's great if they are a doctor or an engineer. I'm an engineer, and it's great. But the most important thing is Jesus. And so I would challenge all of you guys to be spending time with your kids in God's Word at home, and lead your kids to the Bible when your kids have questions. If they come up to you with a hard question, let's see what the Bible says about that and find it. And those are ways you can teach your child to actually focus on God's Word and to go to God's Word when they have questions. Okay, so now let's go and into verse 15 and see that it's important for us to have a child's perspective. So in verse 15 it says, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as little child will by no means enter it." What's the difference between how a child enters the kingdom and an adult? Or looks at the kingdom, and the difference between the way an adult looks at the kingdom. Now, I'm not talking about stuff children do that's sinful, like temper tantrums. How many in here throw a temper tantrum? I know as an adult I can throw a temper tantrum, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about being stubborn or selfish. I'm not talking about digging our heels in and not doing what we're told to do. But here are some ways that a child looks at things differently than an adult. First, a child can accept a gift without needing to earn it. So every adult in this room knows this feeling. When you give a child a gift, do they say something like, "Oh, no, thank you, I couldn't accept that"? I don't think you ever hear a child say that, right? How many of us as adults say that? Me? I'm guilty of that, right? We refuse things from people. And I think this is why people want to work for their salvation. Because we cannot accept anything out of grace, right? We want to work for it. And that's the difference between an adult and a child, is a child can actually receive that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 states, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Children can freely accept gifts, and so should we. Why wouldn't an adult accept a gift? Because of pride, right? That's the number one reason. We don't want to admit that we might be blessed by something or need that assistance, right? Depending on what the gift is for. I struggle with this all the time, and this is just one way that a child views heaven and the gift of grace differently than an adult. So children receive gifts without any expectation of having to earn it, while adults want to earn their way into heaven. That's one reason why we should be like children and be able to freely receive the gift of God. Second, children fully trust in others to provide for them. Philippians 4:19 states, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And Matthew 6:25 through 34 says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." This is like a child, right? A child doesn't worry about anything. These verses tell us to trust God for everything. And children really set an example for us on trust. When you go out to eat, they're not worried about where the money's coming from to pay for that meal. And when you go out to buy them clothes, they don't care where the money came from for that either. You don't see a child asking, how are we going to afford that ice cream cone I want, right? They fully know that mom and dad will provide for them. And as adults, we make ungodly decisions because we are not truly trusting the Lord. We might work overtime and miss church when God has called us to be there. We might lie because it helps our career. And we might be afraid to tell people we believe in Jesus because it will prevent us from being able to pay the bills. See, children trust in provision, and adults, we need to trust in the same, and we need to fully trust in the Holy Spirit and God the Father to provide for us and not worry about the repercussions if we're living our life for Jesus. And lastly, children walk with love. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 1, says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Jesus gives us great examples of love, and children do too. You don't see children judging by outward appearance. You don't see them not trusting somebody because of the way they look or anything like that. They tend to love and trust everyone until that person has betrayed them. As adults, we need to do the same. We need to make sure as we deal with others that we see them through God's eyes, which is just how a child sees them. We need to treat others in this way, and God sees it as a sweet sacrifice when we do. It isn't easy. How often do you assume the best and love when someone does something wrong against you? Do you assume they have the best intentions? Because that's what a child does. When you talk to them and you tell them about it, usually they have no problem assuming the best for their friend. It is so easy to let our worry and doubt dominate our thoughts when we judge someone's intentions and we don't know exactly what their intentions are. And instead, we need to assume with love. We need to assume the best intentions with the love of Jesus when somebody wrongs us. That person might have meant the best, and we need to be quick to forgive. These are some of the ways a child sees the world that Jesus might have intended when he said this, that they are the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was clear that we need to approach the kingdom of heaven like a child. We can look at how they receive trust for provisions and love and model our own action by the children. Lastly, Jesus models that we need to receive the children in love, which brings us to our last point. And let's finish by reading verse 16 and see how we demonstrate Jesus' love. And it says, and he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. What is a blessing? It means to be favored of God or have God's praises. It is a future praise or a future blessing. So in the Old Testament, you would see the Jewish parents, or even back before Jewish, like in Jacob's time and stuff, they would bless their children for God. And the purpose is giving your child a godly future. Jesus took these children, he embraced them. And if you can imagine the picture of that, of Jesus taking these little kids, and he put them on his lap, and he was just embracing them lovingly, and the children loved him, and he just gave them his time and his love and his blessing. He set the perfect example for us as adults of how we should receive a child. When you interact with children at the church, how do you see them? I mean, sometimes I'm guilty of this. I see them storming down the hallways, and I'm like, you need to quit. You know, it's like, that, you know. But the question is how do we interact with the children? Do you see them as needing your love? Do you see them as needing God in their life? Do you see them as the future of the church? Those are the types of things that you should look at when you look at a little child. That should be the goal of the church when it comes to children. We should desire to lead and guide them. Maybe some of you are not called to be in the children's ministry, but most of you probably have a child somewhere in your life. Maybe it's a niece or a nephew or a grandchild, or maybe it's the neighbor kid next door. God has called us to be Christ-like and to be an example for that child in the way we interact with them. We need to be loving and accepting, just like Jesus. So when we interact with kids, we need to have a Christ-like perspective for that child. Maybe some of you would be great in the children's ministry. Maybe some of you are called to VBS next year, or youth camp even. I'll throw Reuben a bone there. Or maybe just give a child a high five in the hallway. Through these things, we can demonstrate Jesus' love by blessing the children through our time and energy at the church. Jesus showed us that kids are important. They are the future kingdom of heaven. That child that might be a pain right now might be the next pastor of a church, right? I could imagine Bungie being a pain while he was a child. Or they could be the head of a children's ministry someday. Or they could be a great worship leader. Or they could be used to reach thousands around their community. So when you look at that child, you never know what they're going to be becoming, but you can assume that God would use them mightily. And so all we know that God showed us here in Mark 10 is that it's important to dedicate our children, it's important to prioritize our children, it's important to have a child's perspective on things, and it's important to demonstrate Jesus' love. And I'm going to leave you with these verses from Psalm 127. It says, "Behold, the children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Not only can parents be blessed by a child raised in the Lord, but I think the entire church can be blessed by a child raised in the Lord. So I'm going to close in prayer.